I'm excited about this series, Boot Camp. It's hard to believe that something good can come out of an environment like that. I can't imagine being in that. However, that environment is so important. Because here's the truth about boot camp. Not only is it beneficial, it is an essential part of the process that prepares a recruit. In fact, boot camp is the process that changes a civilian into a soldier. It provides an environment that develops the individual physically, emotionally, and psychologically and gives them strength that they need. It prepares recruits for this new life that they have. It prepares them for new roles, for new standards, and for a new purpose. Their life is going through a huge change, and that environment, as difficult as it is essential. See, the same is true for us as Christ followers. We need difficult environments. We need hard times to strengthen us, to challenge us, to prepare us for the new lives that God is calling us to. In fact, Paul says that no longer do we have this life, now we are called to this life. And the difference that is required is a learning process. It does not just happen like that. In fact, this is a fill-in on your notes if you want to write it down. Difficult environments prepare us to follow Jesus long-term. Difficult environments prepare us to follow Jesus long-term. And I say long-term intentionally because we are designed to follow Jesus for all of our lives, not just for short spurts. And yet there are so many Christians that encounter difficulties, and in the difficulties or in life, they give up. They walk away. They feel like they don't have what it takes. They feel like they can't cut it, that it's too hard. And the issue is, I think we're looking at our problems wrong. We stop looking at problems as opportunities that benefit us. In James chapter 1, it says this, "My friends, be glad, even if you have a lot of trouble. You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested. But you must learn to endure everything, not just some things, not just little things. You must endure everything so that you will be completely mature, not lacking in anything. Developed, equipped, prepared." I like how the message says it. "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides." A gift. Think about that. Consider it a gift when challenges and trials come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Hardships and troubles and difficulties are important for our personal and spiritual development. Difficulties prepare us for a long journey with God. In fact, I would say it this way, and this is another fill-in that I think is important. Our disciplines determine the duration of our journey. Your disciplines, the disciplines in your life, is going to determine the duration of your journey with God. Because here's the problem, or here's the truth of this, is what we do in difficult times determines whether we have the strength for short spurts or we have the strength for a long haul of walking with God. And a lot of times we try to get out of difficult situations because they're difficult and we don't like them. And you know, listen, I guarantee you, you go and you watch any of these videos that we're gonna be showing about boot camp, they don't like it. It's not something that they want, but it's something that is necessary. We need environments and disciplines that equip us to not give up. Because the majority of, I shouldn't say it that way, that's a big brush to paint. Many Christians have underdeveloped faith. And when things don't go the way that they want them to go, or when things get difficult, there is nothing of substance that allows them to continue on. They run short of strength in their life. See, the problems that you face, the trials that you endure, the seasons of heartache, the seasons of darkness, as difficult as they are an essential part of your life and your spiritual development. Difficulties develop faith for our journey. Another way you can say it that I think is equally as important, and you can fill this in on your notes, is that's this. Our problems have a purpose. The problems in your life are designed and given to you with a purpose. In fact, as they said, consider it a sheer gift. Consider your problems a gift because they are going to benefit you in the long term. 1 Peter 1 says this, you can greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have a purpose, or they've come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Difficulties make your faith strong. Difficulties give you a necessary and a different perspective on life. And it's this: what God is developing in you will honor him when Jesus returns. The problems and the difficulties that you're going through, what God is using that difficulty, that hardship, that trial, whatever it might be, what God is doing in you is necessary to bring honor to him when Jesus returns. In fact, you can say it this way too: the faith that keeps us going until Jesus returns requires the trials. So when difficulties come, we tend to think that we did something wrong. But difficulties are a part of every Christian's life. And the truth is, we've got to remember that even though the trials are unpleasant, though difficult times and hardships are unpleasant, that God is present in those times. 1 Peter 5 says this, my purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's a season of plenty or a season of want, regardless of what it is that you're going through, that the grace of God is with you. And God's grace is giving to us what we need, but we don't deserve. And God's grace is strength, and it's joy, and it's peace. It's all of those things that we need. If our faith is not tested, if we do not endure times of testing and hardship in our lives, what happens is we become easily offended. We start nurturing attitudes, and those attitudes never go away. It's like they become a part of our life. Then we lack strength, and then we get discouraged. And then after the discouragement comes over a period of time, we give up because there's nothing of substance. Paul writes in Hebrews something that each of us need to hear from time to time. All of us need to hear it. He says this, so take a new grip with your tired hands. You ever feel like you have tired hands from holding on to God? Like you're just holding on for dear life. You don't understand what's going on, and all you can do is just believe. You don't feel like going to church, but you do because you're just holding on to God. I don't understand why this is happening, and you're praying and praying, and it doesn't make sense, and you're just holding on. And after a while, that gets tiresome. And he says, take a new grip with your tired hands. He says, stand firm on your shaky legs and mark out a straight, smooth path for your feet so that those who follow you through the weak and lame will not fall and hurt themselves but become strong. See, here's the truth. Fatigue is natural. Perseverance is not. Perseverance is a process that every single one of us have to learn, and we have to work at it. And if we don't work at it, and if we don't learn it, we will give in to the fatigue. So if I can look at a definition of what perseverance is, first one is this: to continue on a course of action or in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of a desired end. Another one is steadfastness in doing something despite the difficulty or delay in attaining it. Though it's not happening the way that you want, though you're not getting what you want, you still go the same direction. When I think of perseverance, you know, there's one of the guys in the Bible that just comes to mind is Job is one of them, but another one is Paul. And in 2 Corinthians, he writes this, and I want to read it because it kind of gives this list of things that he had to go through. It's his boot camp, if you will. He says, I've been imprisoned many times, beaten severely, faced death. He said, 5 times the Jewish leaders had me beaten with 39 lashes. Three times Roman officials had me beaten with clubs. Once people tried to stone me to death. Three times I was shipwrecked and I drifted on the sea for a night and a day. I faced dangers from raging rivers, from robbers, from my own people and from other people. I faced dangers in the city, in the open country, on the sea, and from believers who turned out to be false friends. He says, I've gone without sleep and I've been hungry and thirsty and gone without food and without proper clothes during the cold weather. And besides these external matters, besides all of this, internally, I worry about the churches that I plant year after year after year. That's his boot camp. That's the pressure that keeps Paul going. That's the pressure that keeps him going and that motivates him to hear the words at the end of his life, well done, good and faithful servant. That boot camp experience for him, it developed perseverance and gave him strength that he needed for the long haul. And here's the thing, when boot camp strengthens you, when you go through a boot camp experience where you are strengthened, you want to encourage others that you see going through that same process. And that's what Paul does for the church in Thessalonica. He says, we speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, we see the faith that your boot camp is experiencing and it looks good on you. We notice it's good. This is a message that Paul has given to all the churches. A reminder of just how important our trials are. They are a part of our lives. To the church in Rome, Paul says this, we also exult, we're glad in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, if we don't recognize the benefits and the purpose of trials in our lives, then we tend to create a problem, if you will. It's a problem that we generate. It's a problem that we initiate. And the problem looks like this. The first thing that we do is we pray to get out of troubles. When we don't understand the benefit of troubles, then we naturally pray to get out of them. We don't ask for strength. We ask them to end. And if they don't end, then we do all that we can to get out of them on our own strength. And so what ends up happening when we get out of troubles prematurely is no perseverance is developed, which also means this, that our character is unformed. The attributes of God within us are undeveloped. So then what actually happens is no hope is produced. And when we have no hope, that affects everything because even the best circumstances are meaningless. No hope affects our perspective, and without faith, we're unable to believe that God is present and working in what we're going through. We have no hope for the future. James addresses this when he says this, when troubles come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when you endure, when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I mean, I want you to think about that we're really able to look at the difficulties of life from a different perspective, and that is we look at the difficulties with optimism and joy when we understand that God is present and active, that he has a calling on your life and a purpose and a plan in everything that you're going through, that he's in control. And actually, right now in your life, the difficulties, the problems that you're facing, that you are going through personally, they are developing your faith. They're not just there to create headaches. They're not just there to create opportunities for worry. Listen, when you worry, there are opportunities for you to choose to believe, for you to choose to trust. They're developing your faith. Paul knew that God was involved in everything that was going on in his life, and Paul knew that God was in control of everything. So I would say the secret to Paul's perseverance was this. He viewed his circumstances as coming from the hand of a loving Father who was in control of all things. Listen, it totally changes how you look at the things going on around you when you find yourself in difficult times, when you're aware that God, those difficult times are a gift from God, and he's got everything under control. I think perseverance is difficult because so many of us have allowed the culture that we live in to be a part of our spiritual DNA. In other words, we look at following Jesus as something that should make my life easier. We look at Jesus, we look at this opportunity of following Jesus, of being a Christian, as something that should make my life better, not harder. And what ends up happening is we want a life, a theology that we just want to believe that life should be easy. But Jesus said, here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. It doesn't say that life is going to be easy. It doesn't say that life is going to be trouble-free. See, something that happens is when we allow this easy theology to come and develop in our lives, we end up undermining the perseverance that God is trying to develop in us. This isn't a fill-in on your notes, but you might want to write it down because I think it's a great reminder. It takes trials to have a testimony. A testimony in our life is for us to be able to communicate the power of God and the activity of God in our lives through our trials and our difficulties. You know, that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that reminds us of God's activity. But the problem is we forget it takes trials to have a testimony. The necessity of that trying time is so important for us because it's developing a process of perseverance. We undermine perseverance when we do this, when we pursue the temporary rather than the eternal. It's so easy to pursue the temporary rather than the eternal. In boot camp, it trains the recruits to stay on mission regardless of what they face, to keep focused. To look at the big picture, to be focused on the big picture, not on the temporary, not on the immediate, not what they're going through right now, but understand that what they're going through is a part of the big picture, and it forces them to consider that and to be pay attention and be focused on that. Boot camp for Christian gives us a new purpose to live for. We have to stay focused on the eternal, or we're going to become discouraged with the temporal. We're going to be discouraged with the things that are going on and are negative around us right now because we miss the big picture. We also undermine perseverance when we base our commitment to God on our circumstances. Boot camp strengthens the resolve of the soldier, and the same is true for us. It strengthens our commitment. Circumstances strengthen our commitment. It forces us to stay focused on the goal that God has for every one of us. And that's found in Philippians 3:15. It says, let's keep focused on the goal, those of us that want everything that God has for us. And if you want something else in mind, if you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. See, God wants to develop in us complete and total commitment. He didn't say it's easy, but total commitment requires difficult circumstances. We also undermine perseverance when we want what is easy rather than what reflects Jesus. We want what is easy rather than what benefits us. If you remember, boot camp gives civilians a new identity. It changes a civilian to a soldier. And difficult times enable us to become like Christ. It changes. It is a part of the process that changes our identity. It gives us a new identity. Philippians 3:17 says this. It says, stick with me, friends. Keep on track, those of you. Those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. He says, I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross. They hate sacrifice. They hate difficulty, but easy street is a dead end street. And those who live there make their bellies their god, the belches are their praise. And all they can think of is their own appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of a Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be, under and around him. See, listen, boot camp trains us to not be focused on ourselves. It provides us and gives us an environment that takes our attention from ourselves. And in a spiritual realm, it says the times of difficulty teach us to die to ourselves. In other words, we're not focused on what I want. It becomes about what God wants. Just like in a boot camp experience, they're forced to die to themselves and to do what is told and what is asked of them. It's a part of us taking on the new identity of Christ. Jesus wasn't looking for an easy way. He wasn't looking for an easy street. He was focused on the eternal. He was focused on what was necessary. And he was focused on the big picture, and that was sacrifice and dying for us. Listen to this scripture. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race that we're in, and study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in a place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself lagging in your faith, when you feel like giving up, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through. All that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves. Listen, times of darkness, times of going through hardship, I did not say they were easy. But if we don't learn to die to ourselves, then we make it about ourselves. We start feeling sorry for ourselves, and that becomes an opportunity for us to die to ourselves and for us to realize and for us to grow and understand that part of the process that we have to learn is this is not about me, this is about God. See, Jesus is all you need in your circumstances, whether it's good or bad, he's enough. It's so important to be reminded that who we belong to in times of difficulty. See, the difficult times are gonna come. That's what Jesus said. And when difficult times come, if I could just give you three quick things, we need to make them an opportunity to pray. Not necessarily that we pray to get out of it, but for asking God for strength while we're in it. That God would give us faith, that God would give us hope, that God would give us the strength that we need. Or the pace, the patience. See, the strength that is being formed in us comes from the one who lives within us. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The strength within us comes from the person within us. Also, when difficulties come, don't worry about the whys, worry about the whats. Deal with the whats in your life. In other words, what is it that God wants me to learn from this? What is God wanting to do in my life? When we tend to focus on the whys, like why is this happening? And a lot of times we don't get the answers there of why something is happening. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. But God, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to do? God's gonna always make his way plain. The last one is making an opportunity for your faith to grow. That you learn to trust God for who he is, whether you see it, his activity or not. That you trust that God is with you, that you trust that God has your circumstances worked out, that he's working through all of the things that are going on in your life and he has a purpose. I'd like you to close your eyes and just listen to this last verse I want to read for you. It's out of Peter as well, 1 Peter 4. With your eyes closed, just listen. He says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God is not on the be glad that you experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. I want to encourage you today to look at your problems differently, that maybe today you can start looking at your problems as a gift, an opportunity with a purpose, a reminder that God is with you, that God has you right where he wants you. If you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's where it begins. You just tell God, I want a relationship with Jesus. I accept what Jesus did on the cross for my sins. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and you know our hearts and you know our lives and you know that the difficulties that we face, the hardships that are so unpleasant and yet they have so much potential. And you use each one of them for your glory and for your purpose in our lives. To produce Paul, to give us strength, to give us perseverance, to have a sense of resolve that we don't give up. They provide us opportunities to connect with you, to hold on to you and your promises in our life. Father, I just lift up each person that's here today. Whatever the difficulties are that they face, may we all see your purpose in it. May we recognize the gift. May we understand the process and just how important it is. And Father, may you give us the strength that we need, not just to endure it, but Father, to develop hope from it. Father, we ask these things for your strength and for your glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.